time for more movie thoughts, reviews, and royal commentary from Richard Fitzwilliams and Natasha Wanton on the Midweek Drive.
Did you want to make this documentary?
No one sees what's happening behind the closed doors. Do everything I could to protect my family.
Doesn't it make more sense to hear our story from us?
Well, what do we say? Clearly, if Richard Fitzwilliams does actually join us, I will be actually asking him if we've got an early insight in terms of the New Year's honours list, in which clearly we can look forward to Baroness Ngozi Fulani because of the exceptional work she's actually doing in terms of managing to actually get at least one octogenarian to actually leave the racist institution that is Buckingham Palace. Or is that too much? Perhaps we're actually looking at something completely different. And as indeed my backdrop says, they're back. Yes, Harry and Meghan launching a whole new Netflix series, which is guaranteed to keep the House of Windsor battles running and running. What say you, Sarah Huntley?
I shall deliberately not watch. There's no bigger problems in the world than two very privileged people who actually, I think, you know the old adage, actions speak larger than words? Why don't they just get on and be and contribute without having to have this mega thing about them all the time? To me, it strikes as the worst type of actor that is, it's always all about them. We don't want to know any more about you. We just want you to get on and have a happy life and contribute without having to be sensationalizing. And that is my last word on it.
Perhaps the clue is in the phrase Meghan, and the two things were interchangeable. And I think it's probably valuable that we could actually say, if only we actually took to our hearts the notion of loving one another, if everybody just did that, love the person you're with, That's it. Just stay there. If everybody actually then loved the person that they were with, we wouldn't have all of this hassle in any sense of the word. I'll give my thoughts, because everybody else seems to have given their thoughts on the Ngozi situation with, of course, Lady Susan Hussey, former, well, widow of the late Duke of the BBC, or the late director of the BBC, Lord Marmaduke Hussey. But Natasha Wanton, in Australia, is it just a case of this is certainly big laugh time?
I thought that the trailer was hilarious in how biased it was skewed. I think there'd be several gentlemen at the Sun who'd be very impressed with how biased they managed to get it with that cutting of the footage. Will I watch it? Probably not. If I will, it will probably be, you know, when you watch a movie that's really terrible just to laugh at it, it would probably be for that kind of reason. But no, I don't think I really want to give them the satisfaction of watching it in some ways. And I think I agree quite strongly with everything Sarah said. I think she summed it up quite beautifully. If you've made all this big declaration that you want to be out the public eye, and now you've got a documentary on Netflix. So I think that kind of says it all really about the people involved, doesn't it, really?
It's one of several documentaries that will be made by Netflix, but I think he's actually here now, and hopefully he's locked into the system. So, Richard, I put it to you actually, a query. Have we seen an early teaser in terms of the New Year's honours list? Now, I know, Richard, currently you're looking after the crown from Prince Charles. It's left the tower, and I know that Richard, you are entrusted with keeping the crown safe whilst it's being redesigned for next year. So we can't reveal anything else other than you're somewhere in the world. So we appreciate that. But my question, basically, Richard, is: have we can we look forward to, in the New Year's honours list, seeing the elevation to the House of Lords of Ngozi Fulani, and she becomes Baroness Ngozi Fulani, for ensuring the dynamic work that she's actually done, and nobody can actually say where she's possibly come from. Because, I mean, Richard, where are you from?
Well, Alex, I'm very intrigued by your take on this, and indeed the way you link it to Keir Starmer's intention to reform the House of Lords, and
Exactly,
these
exactly.
ideas flow from you. I mean, this actually has been, jokes apart, a very serious crisis for the royal family over the last period, because firstly, this row, as you know, as you all know, has gone viral worldwide. And secondly, it's done a lot of damage too. And also, secondly, a Netflix documentary, which you were talking about, I mean, the docuseries, apparently there are going to be six of them, 1 hour each, and three of them this Thursday, three of them next Thursday. Whether that will make it more digestible
We need
for
something to cope with after we'd lost the truth of the crown. We have to have more truth and revelations about the royal family. I mean, it's the battle for the House of Windsor writ large. In the
Well, I'm
words,
afraid
say.
I can only say that Harry and Meghan are a couple who seek privacy. As you know, they've
Yes,
said
yeah.
often, quite. And this, of course, I mean, the release of that trail, firstly, the first day of a 3-day visit of the new Prince and Princess of
Oh,
Wales
we're not
to.
interested in that, Richard. Let's get. I mean, in the words of the Daily Mirror, utterly explosive. Harry and Meghan TV warning: Netflix show is worse than royals can imagine. The royal family has been warned to brace themselves for a TV bombshell that could divide the nation. I mean, this is the key thing. I mean, what Prince William and Kate are actually doing about ecology and meeting up with David Attenborough, that's mild by comparison. That's not big news. This is the news, surely, in Team Meghan.
Well, I mean, I have to say that the choice of images, firstly, some of the most intimate ones I've ever seen of them canoodling, very unusual for members of the royal family to be in that trailer. And then secondly, the one that we saw of including Catherine, I mean, that was the infamous occasion on the Commonwealth Day,
She
her
didn't
return.
look happy.
See, neither of them looked happy, and indeed, that was why it was chosen. Now, I mean, all we had, there was practically no dialogue. There was Meghan saying, "Oh, well, you leave it to us to tell our own
Exactly. Leave it to tell
happened."
us to, I mean, who would you go to? Obviously, they're going to be completely truthful in every sense of the word. No sense of bias whatsoever.
I can only say that, whereas obviously we've not seen it, I think it's going to be pretty awful. And also the problem is, and I was actually just discussing this with the journalist, my apologies for being slightly late, that was why, what happens is that the royal family cannot do much about it. If they pick up an individual points, as they could have on Oprah, there were 17 points on Oprah that could have been queried, to put it mildly and put it generously, then they add more fuel to the fire, more people learn or pay attention to the individual pieces that are debated and so on. I mean, one of the Sussex's complaints on Oprah was, in fact, that the royal family didn't do enough, or the palace staff didn't do enough to protect them. Well, I mean, firstly, you add fuel to the fire if you do, but then here they've got an open goal because there's nothing much the royals can actually say without fueling it all again. And
well,
we
also see on the front of the Daily Express, of course, the Sunday Express and so on, William, I'll fight back. Prince's warning shot to Harry and Meghan on eve of Netflix show. Prince William is poised to challenge Harry and Meghan head on if they smear the royal family in their new series. And obviously, Harry is saying that, you know, basically in the Sun on Sunday, and let's face it, Rupert Murdoch actually sort of always has the royals' interests at his heart. Harry, Brits need lesson. Duke's astonishing comment over Oprah. Prince Harry actually boasted that the British family, in the royals family at least, needs to learn a lesson. So, I mean, it's really boiling over quite nicely, really. Perhaps we should actually give one side red roses and the other side white roses and then set them two in a kind of jello wrestling match.
I'm afraid that the casualty of that, of course, would be the institution of monarchy. And with the early part of King Charles's reign, with Camilla as queen consort, and this was why I'm particularly regrettable that the race row blew up at her first major function at Buckingham Palace. There were three queens there, linked to violence against women and a very worthy cause. The facts simply are that this, I'm afraid, is going to run for a while. But if they weren't royal, what work would Harry and Meghan have? I mean, all is derived from their royal status. Now, that might change somewhat.
Oh, surely Meghan would be an Academy Award-winning actress and Harry would actually be a commander-in-chief of the army. I mean, you know, that inevitably that they'd be just working through that. But they do this out of the goodness of their hearts.
I can only commend you, Alex, for your generosity in this, but I suspect a touch of irony might have entered that your thoughts. It's rather horrible, and I just think that the next week is going to be dominated partly by it, with obvious concern.
Well, thank goodness we've got Senegal, England to worry about. So that's the important thing.
Yeah, that's a minor matter, isn't it, compared to what the something. No. But seriously, they can land some blows, because remember what Harry says about Camilla, because they've never, neither brother has ever revealed, and the rift's pretty deep, heaven knows, I'm afraid. Neither brother has ever revealed what they really thought in the 1990s. And I think you might get some of that. I think you might get a good deal of what is claimed behind the scenes. And also, when it is linked to race and mental health, we all know the sensitivities involved there. As for whether or what is said and its relationship with the truth or their truth, that's another issue.
Very briefly, let's talk a little bit about Lady Susan Hussey, because obviously a backstory, probably not known. I mean, unless you actually were a friend of Marmaduke when he was in charge of the BBC, seems to actually have had a logical and interesting background. I mean, from my own perspective, were I to actually turn up at a royal event, when in fact, you know, I basically was presented to Princess Anne at the Royal Albert Hall in the days of postgraduate study, the MA was actually awarded from that point of view. If I turned up, shall we say, in either full Polish costume or maybe a full Irish costume, then maybe, just maybe, I might have actually expected a kind of response like, well, where are you from then? And indeed, people have often said, sorry, can't, left cheek, what, etc. So should I actually take umbrage at that point and then say, I'm sorry, I feel violated, ensuring I've actually recorded the conversation and therefore actually proven that I was violated in the number of times I was actually asked, oh, where are you from then?
Well, I think one of the problems with this issue, and I've been debating it a bit. In fact, there was a lively debate on Talk TV yesterday with someone who was certainly no admirer of the monarchy and certainly thought that it was the whole thing was terrible. It has been terrible for the royal family. The facts are Lady Susan Hussey, at 83, as gave over 60 years service to the Queen as her lady-in-waiting. She'd been specially kept on by King Charles as a lady companion, and she was Prince William's godmother. If you read that transcript, however, and I mean, for the record, I do have to say it's pretty excruciating, because I think Lady Hussey was... I mean, she was pushing at a particular answer at a particular point, and either couldn't see or didn't perceive that it was undoubtedly causing offence. Yes, there've been, you mentioned recordings, and there've been a lot of, if you read the online and the on Twitter and so forth on this, you get a one take. If you hear the national news and the conventional broadcasters, you get very much another. What's one can only hope after an incident that, putting it mildly, has caused a tremendous amount of fuss, especially given the accusations that by Harry and Meghan against racism in the royal family.
But,
and
but surely, Richard, when you have a charity which is a very worthwhile charity called Sister Space, which is only exclusively for people of Black Afro-Caribbean heritage, you can't then turn around and spin around and say, "Hang on, I feel violated here." I mean, again, I'm Natasha, I'll just bring in you in on this particular thing, because surely the adversarial notion of the way in which you defend a viva, the way in which you defend a thesis, that is based on the basis of people saying, so where are you from, etc. Natasha, your thoughts?
I think the issue, the question in itself could have been asked once if she had to ask it, although it's not, given general society at the minute, you could think that it was probably not the most intelligent question given the gravity of the situation. If she just asked it once, all right, you sort of think, okay, brush it off. But I think because she persevered, I think that's what makes this so shocking to a lot of people. It's her perseverance in the matter, because then that goes from it being what could have been portrayed as a very innocent question to, even if it is tasteless, to it being, it can be perceived then as an attack, because you have that persistence and you have almost like an aggressor and then someone who's being, you know, almost hounded for an answer. So in that sense, yeah, it's not great. It's not great, however you slice it. And I think it's interesting, unfortunately for Camilla, that it blew up at her first outing. But then I also think, in many ways, how many people were actually really interested in the thing that she was holding? Because I think that in terms of modern media, they maybe, you know, they would have sold a couple of papers on that, but now they've got something massive. So yes, they're going to jump up and down on the issue. If there had been any other issue, they would have jumped up and down on it, because it's got far more meat and far more grit and far more kind of capacity to blow up on the internet than what she was doing. I'm not knocking any of the work that any of the people were doing. It's very valuable work. But I think that the media were going to jump up and down on something. Unfortunately, it was that. Yeah.
Just briefly, Sarah, I mean, clearly, for the benefit of the radio listener, you're wearing a very wonderful Christmas festive-oriented jumper. It looks sort of that point of view. That obviously, to me, suggests you're from Scandinavian heritage. Should I actually say, where exactly are you from? Where are you? Are you from Iceland, Sweden, etc.? Where's it coming? What are your thoughts on this one? Because again, this is something which personally I can see happening, and I have, you know, I've had that situation where people say, "So where are you from then? Where are you from?"
I rather like the fact you think I could be Scandinavian or Norwegian. That makes me feel quite magical, actually, Alex. It's a very difficult one, isn't it? I agree with what Richard said and what Natasha said. I had some very, very old friends I haven't seen for 30 years to dinner, lunch yesterday. They are of, I won't bother because I'll probably judge on this, but there are every, oh gosh, I'm getting so
diverse.
Nervous.
They're diverse, Sarah.
A diverse group of people. And this culturally. Culturally, am I allowed to say ethnically? I was surprised that they brought the topic up because it's a tricky one, and we all know it's a terribly sensitive area. And I possibly thought they might not bring it up because I'm classed as being white middle class, but I'm not going to apologize for that. But on the other hand, what I really don't understand is you and I know how proud we are of our Polish Jewish roots. I very much feel that's part of me and gives me the strength sometimes. Perhaps that's just a romanticism. If people aren't interested in all of this, why is this vogue for people doing these DNA tests to find out where they fall? And surely by doing these DNA tests, it proves that we're all a complete mixture of lots and lots. And as time goes on. So my thoughts are, I agree with Natasha. I think it was unfortunate the way the question was pursued. But I didn't realize till my friends yesterday showed me a picture of the outfit that this lady was wearing, quite how extreme it was. Now, I'm probably going to get told off for saying that. But, you know, if you're walking along Oxford Street, that would have been noticeable, as it would if you saw a Buddhist monk walking along. You know, they're not wearing blouses and tracks, a suit, they're wearing that. So my thoughts are on it. At the end of the day, like I was mentioning about Meghan and Harry, what was that all about? It was about trying to raise awareness for women, battered women. And has that woman by, I'm sorry, I can't remember her name. Thank you, everyone. It's my dyslexia there, not because I wasn't going to pronounce it. Has she taken away what the whole thing was about? We've turned it into a racist issue. And that, the other question, when she was asked on a radio to BBC 4 the next day, what would you have wanted her to get the lady to come back with? What would you have wanted to? And if she'd apologised, would that have done it? And she didn't know what to say. And that to me smacks of 50-50, her pursuing a question that she shouldn't have done and somebody else being pretty on the edge, ready to make it an explosive situation. And it's, as you said earlier on, I think everybody should try and love one another, see the other side a little more, and it will be a lot better.
Simple solution. Otherwise, it's like a glass onion. You try to peel it, you get all sorts of things happening in the process. And certainly, it might be said that the knives are out at the House of Windsor.
Hello! Oh, my God!
Crew, we've arrived! Disruptors have assembled!
Welcome, gang. We got a great weekend.
Who's that?
Benoit Blanc, the detective?
Mr. Blanc,
I cannot overstate my gratitude to be here.
When's the murder mystery start?
I've invited you all to my island.
Hi!
Because tonight, a murder will be committed. My murder.
Once you're dead, will we still be able to talk to you?
Yeah, I'm not playing dead the whole weekend, dude.
Well, this is truly delightful.
Across the island, I've hidden clues. You will have to closely observe each other. If anyone can name the killer, that person wins our game. Any questions?
Halle Berry, that has a kick.
Oh my God, what happened? Holy sh-
Ladies and gentlemen, there's been a murder, and the killer is in plain sight. For at least one person, this is not a game. I must insist that nobody touch the body.
Jeez, detective, who killed the party?
I need to find a motive for murder.
Everyone would stab a friend in the back to hold on to this rich bastard.
Deal with it. You're all friends. Why would anyone commit murder?
Are we even going to talk about the elephant in the room?
Am I the elephant?
Yeah,
You're the elephant.
You're not that bad.
Think of the danger here.
Are you calling me dangerous?
Well, we'll see.
Let it all out.
Hell yeah!
This is reckless. The killer wouldn't hesitate to kill again if it covers their tracks.
Must be really great at Clue, huh?
I'm very bad at dumb things. Ticking boxes, running around, searching all the rooms. It's just a terrible, terrible game.
Richard.
Well, yes, it might indeed, Alex. It's been a tough week for them, and you didn't even let me mention the Ayrshire Prize. But as you say, the interest was not there, I fear. Tune in on BBC 5:30 this evening. I gather they have a broadcast of it. Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery. Now, I was looking forward to this enormously. I also know Sarah's seen it, so it'd be very interesting to compare notes. And yes, the tech billionaire, Miles Bronn, played by Edward Norton, invites his friends and Detective Benoit Blanc back again after Knives Out, played by Daniel Craig, to a murder mystery party at his mansion, the Glass Onion, on his private island in Greece, and the servants are dismissed for the period. And this includes a whole series of individuals, including, I'm delighted to say, fashion designer Birdie J, played by Kate Hudson, and also Cody, played by Dave Bautista, and his girlfriend Whiskey. She's pretty lively. In fact, it's all rather lively. There's also a surprise here, and also some interesting, I would suggest, flaws in the plot. We have to be very careful of spoilers here. Janelle Monáe as Cassandra, who's Miles's girlfriend, and whom he may have been rather surprised to see. I think Sarah will agree on that point. Well, this billionaire is quite a character. He's hired the Mona Lisa of the Louvre, loaned it to him, and also he and Cassandra have had legal problems because of his role as chief executive officer of a company called Clear. It's a very dangerous hydrogen. He wanted released into the atmosphere, and she didn't. Now, it has to be said, the Glass Onion, as we discover, no spoilers at all, is is powered by Clear. A variety of strange things happen. Indeed, it depends which glass, so to speak, you drink from, and indeed, who fires at whom and with what result. There's no doubt that Detective Benoit Blanc may have his own reasons for being there. I think we would allow my comment to stand without being a spoiler. Director, writer Rian Johnson is hoping to do another one, and I hope he does, has produced something that's very colourful. It's got a collection of lively characters with a sequel, as I infinitely preferred Knives Out, because it was sharper, it was subtler. And again, I have to be careful of spoilers, but when you have an overkill. I was complaining about this with Wakanda Forever, the Black Panther sequel, that they, having had an enormous success for the first one, just simply went mad. It was too long, and this is very long. I mean, the photography is excellent, and it's very good entertainment. I was most entertained and remain most entertained by Benoit Blanc's accent, Daniel Craig, I wondered how they characterized it.
Wow, he simply goes down to the South, Richard, and actually realizes that's the way most people talk down there, he says, without getting into any racial stereotypes whatsoever.
Well, very good, Alex. I think I'm impressed with that. I give that 4 out of 5. It's a Kentucky Fried Foghorn Leghorn drawl. That is the official definition.
Sure enough, boy, sure enough.
So we've got this improbable, the entertaining piece of, yes, it's very good fun. You've got Leslie Odom Jr., Catherine Hahn. You've got quite a collection of top stars. You've also got a plot that seems to me full of holes, I have to say, when your girlfriend...
Well, it would be if your knives are out and you've got a glass onion. Obviously, you're going to create sort of problems there.
Well, it depends. If people turn up and you might not be expecting them, you might be very, very suspicious if you were the host. However, all in all, 2.5 hours or whatever of this, you know, I'm looking forward to the next one, but there's no need to have quite the overkill in the last 20 minutes that this does. Having said that, it's very good fun.
Okay, Sarah, your thoughts?
Well, the learned words of William, and I agree with. It is good fun, and I'm trying not to spoil anything. In fact, if I tell you, I was a bit confused at times because there's a lot of flashbacks. And the flashbacks don't necessarily happen in order, if you see what I mean. I couldn't help thinking, I don't think the plot is as good as Knives Out. And it might be that, you know, when someone's writing a book and they go, oh, I had this storyline and I had that storyline and I wasn't sure how they were going to link. I kind of got that a little bit about it. Daniel Craig. I was called Richard William. I don't know why I did that. I agree with you, Alex. The accent was, to me, it was quite endearing. It was almost like he was making
fun. Either couldn't have got an authentic American to play that. Well, I really didn't know, but what the hey?
I think we're going to have to keep you doing this. I almost think that it was like, for me, him taking the mickey about all his 007 work, which was endearing. I think Richard would probably agree with me on that one. I agree. I can't really put it better than Richard, really.
And your score, Sarah?
Oh, well, this is it, you see, because I had to contact Fitzwilliam to see what it was going to go. I'm quite nervous now because you always guess the score correctly. So this is, I would say, I think he's going to go between 7 and 8. Natasha, what do you think?
I'm sensing that he didn't love it as much as the first one. So yeah, I would say 7. Richard's probably going to go with 7.
That's right. Natasha's absolutely spot on. Sarah's pretty spot on. Yes, 7 it is, yes.
Oh, right. So there we go. But we didn't see to our idea that Alex has to guess each week.
well, Kathy didn't connect, so we'll just have to move on that. Meanwhile, one of our early mid-rate drivettes, of course, was the wonderful Lisette Anthony. She was also, sadly, one of the first victims, as we said, of a certain Harvey Weinstein. That's another tale for another story, but it is She Said, and Carey Mulligan does her American accent as well. No end of interest in this particular aspect. Richard, She Said, now we've identified that Glass Onion is the ideal movie to see after you've caught Netflix's Meghan and Harry series and when it launches on Netflix on the 23rd of December.
The only way these women are going to go on the record
is if they all jump together.
Why is sexual harassment so pervasive and so hard to address? Let's interrogate the whole system.
Hi, my name is Jodi Kantor. I'm an investigative reporter for the New York Times.
What have you got?
I was told that the wrongdoing in Hollywood is overwhelming.
I don't want to be quoted. Period.
Understood.
In your previous stories,
how did you persuade women to tell you what had happened to them?
A case I made was, I can't change what happened to you in the past.
But together we may be able
to help protect other people.
The truth, basically.
What is it exactly that we're looking at here?
These young women walked into what they all had reason to believe were business meetings.
I can still see it, the hotel room, the floor plan.
He kept trying to touch me.
I asked him to leave me alone.
Instead, they say he met them with threats and sexual demands.
I was young, scared.
Hi, we're from the New York Times. I believe you used to work for Harvey Weinstein.
People have tried to write this story before. He kills it every time.
Harvey adamantly denies any allegation of assault.
He played people. He was a master manipulator.
Will you give me just one chance to talk to you?
Are you sure that this isn't just young women who want to sleep with a movie producer to try to get ahead?
This is bigger than Weinstein. This is about the system protecting abusers.
The women who receive these settlements, they can't speak out. They'll be sued if they do. But if someone could speak freely about the payouts...
What payouts, John?
You have to imagine that every call you make is being recorded and you're being followed.
Can you imagine how many Harveys there are out there?
You want to get me killed.
Do you wish you hadn't signed up for this story?
Do you?
No.
The only way these women are going to go on the record
is if they all jump together.
We're all here, Harvey.
Who have you talked to?
I have three daughters, and I don't want them to ever accept abuse or bullying. I'll go on the record.
Go write. It's time to write.
This is all going to come out.
I was silenced. I want my voice back.
Yes, She Said, actually, is extremely good, and people aren't watching it. They're not going to see it. Hopefully, there'll be an online viewership for this, because director Maria Schrader has made a first-class docudrama. It's based on the book of 2019 by New York Times journalists Jody Cantor and Megan Tuohy, and it follows their investigation, which exposed Harvey Weinstein's abuse and led to his disgrace and trial and imprisonment, which we've all been familiar with. And symbolically, it's highly important for the Me Too movement. One of the strengths of this film, we know how it ends, but it's very well done, and it builds tension, much like, for example, on the president, All the President's Men. There are echoes of that, perhaps a little too much, you could argue. Nonetheless, it's obvious that the director has based certain scenes on the deep throat aspect of it. Character that Woodward and Bernstein had, and who was a connection inside the White House. Here it's absolutely fascinating that some of those working for Weinstein absolutely loathed him. But what center stage here, we have the victims, and we have also the fact they were too terrified, even if they were the likes of Ashley Judd and Gwyneth Paltrow, too terrified to or afraid to come out and be named, unless they knew they had backing because of what this might do to their career. Ashley Judd and Gwyneth Paltrow, of course, big, really, really big names in Hollywood. And indeed, I would add that the performances in this movie, Carey Mulligan, excellent as Megan Tuohy, Zoe Kazan, also as Jodie Cantor, you basically see, and you meet victims. You have the tapes that we know, and which I've heard in documentaries about Weinstein. You hear some of this. You realize what went on. It's dreadful. It's sinister. It shows also the deep, deep fear when there's abuse of power at the highest levels. Who dares speak out? And also the way, from a legal point of view, it's made so very, very difficult. The facts are that this led to workplace and legal reforms that should have happened many, many years ago. Weinstein got a 23-year sentence, and other charges are still pending. But what you've got here is a first-class docudrama. It's got Samantha Morton and Jennifer Ely as well. Ashley Judd appears as herself. They're the voice of the real Donald Trump, by the way, and also the real Gwyneth Paltrow. It's well-acted, well-scripted, unobtrusive visually. Very, very good.
I'm saying he's going to give her a 9 for this. Natasha, your thoughts?
I think this is a very interesting offering because I think it's an issue that sort of changed Hollywood in a lot of ways. It was a big, you know, the Me Too movement was a big outpouring. And I think it's, oh, wow, Sarah might be able to tell me whether or not it's actually made any difference at all to how female actors are treated. But I think that it was definitely a big watershed moment in the Me Too movement. Definitely what started the Me Too movement. There's been a lot of interest, I think, certainly hear from female audiences. I'm not sure whether or not it would be something that would appeal universally to everyone, and maybe that's why it's not being as popular in the cinema, which is a shame because I think it's something that everyone should probably go and see. It's something that I want to see when I'm allowed to leave the house and not got COVID. So I was planning to see it on Wednesday, actually. But yeah, no, I think it's a very important issue. And I'm very glad that the actresses found the courage to sort of come back and play in the role, because I think that that must be a very traumatizing and a very brave thing to do. So good on them for doing that. Yeah, I'm interested to see how it plays out.
Sarah.
Yes, I think that's very important. I do think things have changed considerably, thank goodness. And I think equity, the union have very much, there's many laws written in now. So I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it's very, no one's really being allowed to get away with it anymore now. I really believe that. Who's the guy?
It's a whole new spin on Shakespeare in Love for me. That's all I can say.
Yes. I think that's one area where it's successfully really, really gone home to the right and gone to the right people, which is important. And keeping a sense of perspective on it, because I think when you watch drama or any television series back in the 70s, it is very difficult. I'm not talking about Me Too now, but I'm talking about what was considered correct at the time. And we've all seen the witch hunt that happened before that with various celebrities, some of which absolutely, it was horrific. But then they went for people that it wasn't, you know. So I think everything being done calmly and measured, and the fact that these actresses have gone in and played it will speak volumes. So I think it's good. But hopefully, I think that's one area that has successfully been targeted. And I don't think young actresses or young actors, or I have to say actors as female, male, would feel so scared about coming forward and saying, well, if I didn't do this, I wasn't going to get that part, or I had to sleep with them in order to make sure I kept my part in that series.
Personally, or indeed in certain movies, who do you have to sleep with to get off the movie, basically? Another sort of case.
Well, absolutely. I do know a couple of people who have been pulled up personally. They were quite shocked.
As we said at the start, Sarah, if you just had respect for the person you're with and love them on an individual basis, problem would be solved. That's pretty well. By the way, was I right with the 9 out of 10 for She Said, Richard?
Yeah, no, it was actually. I was going to say 4 stars, so roughly 8, but I'm certainly happy to go to 9 because it just gives an extra nod for a first-class cast. Also, I didn't mention Patricia Clarkson, who plays Cantor and Tui's boss. She's very good, but they're all very good. It's very well done. A little derivative, perhaps, at times from, as I mentioned, All the President's Men, but no. It's a film people ought to see, and the victims' testimonies are absolutely chilling.
So there we have it. And Sarah has actually brought her advent calendar to the whole sequence as we head through the whole sequence.
Show you, and I know the viewers can't see this, but they can hear it. So I've very much been enjoying Richard's lead up to Christmas and all mm-hmm. the decorations he's been mm-hmm. showing us and talking about. And this is one of my joys of Christmas. So you open a door, and you open another door.
This is wondrous. This is the official.
Open another door.
It's like watching a Blue Peter scenario on that system. Extraordinary.
So I feel like an elderly Blue Peter presenter. So for this,
here's one you made earlier.
There's a couple of chocolates and a different tune.
That's what we need. Clearly, more tunes and obviously less COVID. Natasha, get well soon. Please do not bring your COVID bugs across the country to Britain. I mean, we can do without that. You know, it's one of those Australian imports we don't want to actually go for, despite the government's propensity for actually building relationships and so on. For the moment, to Natasha Wanton, Richard Fitzwilliams and Sarah Huntley, keep watching the movies.
Bye.